Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Look, far from the beautiful beaches of blue sand of my homeland is a place called Barovia, the place we now find ourselves. While they may look very different, one thing is the same. The sensation of being surrounded. We cannot leave this place, this disgusting barony of one Strahd von Tsarevich. At least not until we usurp him and take the throne for ourselves. Careful, though. Treason carries a heavy price in these parts.
As you approach those double doors, you can hear on the other side mirth and laughter and song and even dance.
Huh. Whoa. Whoa. Weird. Yes, starting point would be to go to the, I guess, the Candanese people that I would either would recognize.
Just trying to think who you're sitting down next to specifically.
Who is next to me apart from Gretchen?
Gretchen on one side, highs or lows.
Let's go highs. Why not?
A halfling is sitting next to you. You can see the halfling is. Actually, he's doing quite the opposite to what Gretchen is doing. Gretchen is just shoveling food into her mouth. Mm-hmm. This halfling, he has a little plate of food, and you can see he's very carefully picking at it. Like he's trying to eat around something, but you can't tell what it is he's trying to eat around.
Hi there. I'm Hector. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I'm Wilbur. Wilbur Sherfoot.
Nice to meet you, Wilbur Sherfoot. Have you been in Barovia long?
A little while, yeah.
How do you find yourself here?
I gesture to this grand hall and fabulous party.
Well, I was, I was on the run from the law. Took a little jump over a bridge, a bridge with a gap in it, like a drawbridge type thing. Hoping to land on the other side, but I missed. Landed in the moat instead. And then when I put my head out, I wasn't in, I wasn't anywhere I knew, actually. I was out in a place called Valakai, near a lake.
Right. That's a lake, the Baratok one?
Yeah, I think.
And then
of corpses around and whatnot.
That's after a while I was there, right?
That's off. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, you do remember a bunch of corpses being there, but you created that. Well, Gogash created that situation. Yeah.
And also, you know, like, who knows? There probably was corpses there in the past.
Yeah.
It's Barovia.
Oh, right.
Gave me a bit of a fright, have to say.
Yeah, there was a... Was there anything in the water when you got there?
I describe like a big tentacly thing just like flapping about.
Well, that's
like
terrifying. No.
right. Okay. Yeah, when I was there, that was there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know what was in there for me.
You know the place you're talking about. And then you went to Valakai, yes?
I went to Valakai. I spoke with some people there.
Right. How was that? I'm asking questions in regards to like to try and place him
in the timeline.
In the timeline of when I was there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you think if he's saying like big tree in the middle, I'm like, got it.
Uh-huh. You think he arrived just after the tree fell? Like he's talking about people. When he arrived in Valakai, people are talking the like reconstruction efforts, and people are. He never even went into the west side of the city, but he was. He heard people like bragging about how easy it's going to be because this time the problem caused the solution.
Yes, that was a giant treant, but they were using the wood from that to build the. That does not sound good at all. I'm pretty sure that wood would bleed. Right, and then isn't it currently encased?
What do you mean?
Valakai seems impenetrable.
Oh, he puts up his hands. I think I heard about that. That's after me, though.
Right, and then you came here.
I went to Barovia, the little village down the way.
I've not been there yet.
I wouldn't recommend, he says.
Right,
it's not great down there.
Right, but here it is, I gesture.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, do you not find it so strange? Like, things with it. You know, I'm guessing you've encountered.
I suppose I would find it strange. Yeah, I don't know why they'd spend their days there when they could come up here.
I thought they could come up. What do you mean?
He looks around. Well, a bunch of people here are from the town. They'll come. Oh. Yeah.
What's wrong with the town?
Barovia?
Yeah.
He laughs. It's unpleasant. You know, monsters roaming around, people not having a great time and whatnot.
Right. But they could just come up here.
Well, some of them can, clearly, he says, and he gestures to a couple people. I saw them down in town. They're up here now. I saw them in Valakai. They're here now.
Yes. Sorry. It is all, it's all very strange. Like, yeah. I've only been here for a few months, I feel, and I've,
Months?
Yeah.
You gotta get out of here.
I would like to.
Yeah, guy.
Why don't you talk to the big guy, he says, and he gestures towards where the band's playing. Ask him.
In due time. In due time. Why don't you get out of here?
I am, he says.
And that's why you're here.
I'm staying for the thing today, and then I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, you've spoken to the...
Yeah, I've chatted to him.
Right.
He said he's looking for something, I don't know, and he thought maybe it could be me, but he decided against it, and now he's letting me go.
Oh, where are you from? Are you from...
I'm from Solnesti, he says. Solnesti. You don't recognize it.
Solnesti. No, I don't recognize that. Is that in... are you even from Kandor? Or Ognot?
Ognot, I've heard of.
Oh, you heard of Ognot?
That's like, yeah.
Right.
That's a few places over from me, he says.
A few places over from you. Wait, Ognot the... What?
Ognot.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big place, a lot of ocean, some land, he says.
Yeah.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean,
that's scratching my head. Yeah, you're not wrong. But like, yeah.
It's Solnesti, it's like, okay. He pushes his plate aside. And he maybe gets like, he grabs a heaping of mashed potatoes and slaps it on the table in front of him. Mm-hmm. All right. He draws you a little map of the multiverse.
Okay. So you're
all right. So Ognot's here in the middle, and then you do a jump through the ethereal. You do a jump into
the ethereal.
You
Now
you can get two ways to Solnesti. You can go through the garden party of forever.
It's so funny that this is like when you ask a guy for directions.
Yeah.
You can garden go through party. The garden party of forever, but I wouldn't recommend that. That's Gregory Boones.
Yes, I know about that guy. Yes.
Yeah, unpleasant. I would recommend the Tower of Learning, he says.
Learning.
And he draws a really long line. Okay. It goes infinitely in both directions.
Right. And you're are you a planeswalker?
No.
No.
This is the first time out of Solnesti.
Right. Right. Because, look, when I came here, I barely knew about other planes. Like, I kind of knew about the whole...
Yeah, that sounds like Ognot to me.
Demons, yeah.
It's not enough. What, a sort of planar backwater?
It feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the idea of a planeswalker is, I've only ever encountered one.
Well, you're a planeswalker now.
I never really thought about that, but I suppose... Yeah, I guess I am.
Huh. Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, well, look, it can be a bit jarring, I suppose, yeah, if this is your first time out of the material. It's a jarring any time because, you know, the material's so... gives a look like it's unpleasant, and he says, neutral.
Right. And yet, so
but,
when
you know, the, like... So I assume your time here, you're like, ooh, it's sad, it's oppressive, it's, you know, evil, yada-da-da, right?
I've experienced some horrible things, yes.
Yeah, well, when you get around, you realize that's not that big a deal. Places are just places, you know?
But, I suppose the places are just places, and I guess what is... You're saying, like, is what is evil, what is good is more about where
what
the
I'm people saying in is, it... What I'm saying is, you jump into a pool. Oh, sorry. What I'm saying is, you jump into a pool. Don't be surprised when you're wet.
Right. So I feel Hector is trying to think that maybe he's being a little bit more philosophical than he is,
right?
By being like, you know, hey, places are just places. It's who's around that actually makes the impact. That's what Hector is interpreting this conversation.
That is not what Wilbur is saying.
That is not what he is saying. But that is what Hector is getting from this conversation. I just want to make that explicitly
clear.
Wilbur spends like 5-10 minutes trying to explain the concept, the concept of, in a plainer sense, that you have spent your entire life in like in a room that was room temperature. You have spent your entire life in the room temperature room, and this is the first time you've stepped out of that place. And so, of course, everything feels a bit strange, but that's just, it's not really a big deal. It's just what it is. And I don't think you're getting it.
Yeah. Now you speak my language, Wilbur.
Yes. All right. And when you get back to your Solnesti.
Solnesti.
Right. I guess you'll just pick up where you left off, or is it?
Oh, that's kind of the hope. Yeah.
You can. Right.
Apparently, time can be a little weird.
Hector stops a little bit too much to be like, oh yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you never really stopped to think about that one, did you?
I mean, that could be good.
That could be really good, but. Hey, maybe, you know, how it goes back. Oh, it's 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It goes back. Oh, it's 1,000 years into the future. Yeah, oh, no.
You don't want to step out and have already lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right.
Hey, if you got someplace that you need to be.
Yes.
You should. He starts snapping his fingers.
Sorry.
You don't want to dawdle here.
No, I suppose I don't want
to dawdle. All right. This is your first time planeswalking. You got to know. The longer you spend outside, the harder it is to get back to where you were.
Like, as in terms of time.
Yeah. Okay. Like, if the time works differently here than it does on the material, you said months?
Yes.
You're probably going to be out by more than months. And the longer you spend here, the more out by you're going to be.
Yes. Right. Is Raha Din around?
Raha Din? yeah, you see him, but he looks really busy. He's like a spider in the center of a web. Right. As many people come and go from him, he's quite clearly doing a lot of the organizational stuff for this party.
Well, you have a wonderful evening. Good luck, Wilbur.
You keep it. He says, okay, "Yeah, and be careful about wishing people luck in a place like this."
I say yes. Why?
He shrugs.
Of course, wait, why?
He shrugs and he says, it's just always better to keep things to yourself. Okay. And then he returns to his little plate and he starts pushing things around.
Start eating that mashed potato multiverse.
Yeah. And I look over at Gretchen, I assume he's still just eating.
You look over at Gretchen's gone.
Oh, okay. I look around, see if like where she is, but mostly I'm going to make a like walk. I walk to
Gretchen's Rahadin. Gone. You don't know where she is. It's a big party, though. It wouldn't be you wouldn't be shocked if she was just somewhere else.
Yeah, Again, I make a beeline to Raha Din, but as I'm there, I'm like looking for Gretchen.
Okay.
But mostly going.
You can see those Candanese people are quite clearly also trying to make their way to Raha Din.
Okay.
You and them.
If we kind of like collide in a weird way,
them are having trouble getting to Raha Din.
Right.
You keep trying to like either get a word in or talk to him or get his attention. He just seems very busy.
Right. You need to gesture to Raha Din.
Yes, one of the people turns to you. You could see quite clearly someone of means and quite clearly someone important, but you have no concept of who.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need to speak to him about a business opportunity. What are you here for?
I was invited for a dinner. Estrad invited me.
Right. Adventurer?
Yes. Kando, but your past.
Yes. A lot of strange stuff like that tends to happen around here.
Yes, time works differently.
Yes, of course. You're presumably before the Republic.
Don't know what that means.
Yes. He turns away from you, having completely lost interest.
Yes. Who was our king? Do I
Linus the Grey.
Linus the Grey. Linus the Grey is the king where I am.
Yes, quite a while then.
Right.
Yes, you would have been with the kerfuffle with what's his name?
Sir Grace?
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
Yes, He just, he
was just recently, for me, possessed by whatever it is.
Possessed? He looks really surprised at that.
Yeah. A helm. Did he make the history? Right. There was someone who could see the.
Oh, yes, a diviner, yes.
By the name of a helm that myself and Sir Grace, we went to.
A very important person?
Let us see.
I thought you were going to be like, is it very important you talk to me right now?
The king wanted us to get him. And he was possessed by something.
Hector, you're getting the distinct impression you have like 10% of this man's attention.
I figured. I'm just saying it out loud now. But
he's quite clearly trying to get Rahadin's attention, and he is being polite.
Okay, who is one of the most important wealthy lords that I can remember from my time?
That isn't Sir Grace?
That isn't Sir Grace. That has like I'm talking old money. Like if I was to be like, to drop a name to this motherfucker.
Richard Ware, maybe?
Yeah, Richard Ware.
Like,
you could say Richard Ware. I could give you a different name if you don't want to drop Richard Ware.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like the aristocracy.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like the aristocracy, like perhaps like, you know, if
the
I could.
The Enel family are also quite wealthy and large. They would be, that's the family that's. Sir Grace married.
Okay, because he's saying like importance. Yeah. Basically, I'm going to be like, yeah, because I'm a Hector Enel kind of thing. Like, that's what I'm trying to get at, because this man is annoying me.
hang on. Highs or lows?
Highs.
Okay, Oakflesh.
I am Hector Oakflesh.
You have 25% of his attention.
You're getting there.
That's pretty good.
Hector Oakflesh?
Yes, from the yes. I assume our family is still as powerful as we were?
You do decently, he says. What brings you here?
Well, at the moment I'm trying to get the same person you're getting attention, but he seems very busy.
Yes,
what do the Oakfleshes deal with? What is their deal?
The Oakfleshes are a not the biggest family in Appleville.
Mm-hmm.
But like one of the biggest families in Appleville. They used to deal in lumber, but now they deal in trade. Mercantilism.
Gotcha. Well, again, as you know, to be honest, I'm here to try to get out like most of us are. But, I mean, if you are from our future, I mean, I know if I can return to the past, perhaps we can make a deal. I mean, you seem to be here on business. What is the business?
We're here to establish a... you're from quite far in the past. Forgive me. Do you know what electricity is? Not like lightning. Magical lightning. Like, do you know what a gnome bulb is?
Do I know what? I don't think gnome bulbs are where I'm from.
Like gnome bulbs? You mean potatoes?
Turnips? Yeah, you would know that term for potatoes. That's
the root vegetable.
Yeah. The thing that the gnomes call a potato?
What an embarrassing thing to say.
No, that's a very different. It's okay. It's
The gnomes, where, you know.
Just potentially, there's something Strahd has. It's a type of energy.
All right.
That we are hoping to collect on.
Right. And, did you come here like by choice or?
Oh, we came here by choice. Yes, we have an access point.
Huh? And did we devise that? Does Kandor devise that in the future?
Yes. Or? Yes. That's a lot. Yes.
Huh. Wow. It's very impressive.
Look, honestly, I can't explain it all myself. So
that is all right. I mean, there is.
Yes.
This what? Wait, like thousands of years, hundreds of years between us.
A bit more than that, he says.
I'm like, a bit more. Great.
I don't remember exactly. He turns to like someone who's quite clearly an assistant.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. We don't have like an exact amount, but it would be like tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah.
It's nice that Kandor is still standing.
Yes.
Wow. No, I don't pick up on that. I've met someone here that they were around before the King's Road was even built.
The what?
The King's Road. You know, the King's Road. The road that goes from the... What is the capital?
The capital?
Yes.
It's Highdale.
Okay. All right. That's correct.
There's a... The from, King's Road.
Yeah, the King's
the attendant kind of like leans in and whispers something into his ear. Oh, yes, of course. Sorry, I didn't know it had an earlier name.
Oh, right. So it got renamed because you don't have kings?
It's more of a... like a highway, I suppose. Do you
highway? Did the elves?
Do you know what a gnome-mobile is?
No mobile. Oh yeah, the thing that you put over a crib that the gnomes keep claiming they made.
No, that's a gnome mobile.
I guess not. I mean, look,
So it runs on this power that this, we're trying to get. Yes.
Electricity. Gotcha.
Yes, electricity, yes. As opposed to...
It's good that the...
Noel, which is... Pretty sure it's just coal.
Yes, we have the Noel. Yes.
Yeah. But we use it to make this electricity, but there's other ways of making it.
Right, yeah. We just use the Noel. Why are we saying coal? There's no gnomes around. Yeah. We just use the coal to, like, often just heat the houses, warm the hearth, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see that.
As a different type of road. You wouldn't really recognize it today, honestly.
Right. Fair enough. Well, it is nice to see that we're still making progress.
Yeah. Yes.
Good to hear.
Definitely
good
making progress.
Good to hear. Well, yes. And hopefully, I just need a very quick chat with Raha then. Looking over.
Very quickly, actually, he says.
Right.
You very briefly, you notice you have 100% of his attention.
Mm.
Very quickly, if I may have your a curiosity on something. Do you know what a fateless is?
Fateless?
Yes.
Do I know what a fateless is?
No, you've never heard the term before.
No, I've never.
You ever cut someone and they bled blue instead of red?
I think back.
No, you've never encountered someone like that.
No, I've never encountered a fateless before.
Yeah, never mind then, he says.
Okay.
It's just something that, a condition that was more common in your time than in ours.
Right. I bleed red, right?
You bleed red. Well, you haven't checked.
That's a good point.
But previously you bled red.
In the past, you bled red.
I think, what is, so they bleed blue, right?
Yes, and it's a condition more common back in the day, but now, now it's less common.
And what does it mean?
Well, fateless is, as the name suggests, it's you have no fate. There is no divination can work upon you. Beyond just that, he says, there's, beyond that, it's a... You're so disconnected from fate and from destiny that being in the presence of someone who is connected to fate and to destiny, it just kind of like ruins theirs. Theirs becomes murky and hard to see. So you know how all divination kind of has that chance of error or kind of like...
I think back to the Tarot deck and everything that has gone wrong.
There's a kind of murkiness to it. Like, you're never, someone who tells you the future always has to couch it in some terminology or always has to use words or disclaimers or whatnot.
Mm.
That is, if there were no fateless in the world, that would not need to happen. Right. If were there no fateless at all in the world, every divination spell ever cast would be unerringly completely accurate. The entire universe, the entire multiverse would be like a clockwork device.
Right.
Like a series of numbers going 1, 2, 3, 4 and on.
Extremely it is ordered.
This is faceless that causes a bit of chaos in the world.
Okay.
The reason why divination magic has that murkiness to it.
Why do you ask?
If you encounter, we're here for a little while longer while we're doing this business stuff.
Right.
It's very important for another project of mine, access to someone who is fateless.
Okay, right, yes. And what
Yeah, what's the project, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, in my time, how do you feel about Hector Oakflesh? How do you feel about the gods?
You know, I used to, you know, we have a connection where we are from. A lot of the gods, we pray to them for miracles, for things. Other times it does feel like they have abandoned us. Other times it feels complicated and strange. Maybe that it is like another form of magic that was, some people just label divine. Before coming here many, 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 many months ago, I was, you know, a knight of the cloth. Now, not so much.
Well, in my time, I am working on this thing that I'm doing here, that I'm here for, is for the state. It's not a personal thing, but I have a personal project that I'm working on. I am weary, tired of feeling like us mortals are children running around the skirts of giants.
Yeah.
Perhaps things would be better if we, well, if we forged our own destiny, forged our own lives.
Rather than being the pawns of the gods.
Yes.
Yeah, I see the benefit of that.
And I see one step on that road is better understanding Fateless.
Yeah,
right. They're difficult to acquire in my time, more common in yours.
I would say I'll keep an eye out, but again, I would not. Would I even contact you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, pity.
Okay. Well, is there anything I could do? I mean, if I do get back to Ognot tens of thousands of years before your time, I mean, I could start the process or something. Start there, you know.
Well, as I am from the future, there is little I can offer you. But well,
fair enough. But like, as a an oak tree takes a long time to grow, perhaps I can plant a seed.
Well, that would I would appreciate that to no end, Hector. Unfortunately, as I said, there's not much I can give you in exchange.
Given me conversation, you've given me insight that Candor, well, 10,000 years into the future, we do well. We have this new highway, a gnome ball.
It's for a device called a train. Blessedly, we designed it.
Yeah, that is nice. Maybe you can, maybe if I can see where the future goes, maybe that is my new profession.
He smiles.
Maybe I'm done being an adventurer, you know?
Yes, well.
Maybe I am done living in the shadow of my forefathers. Maybe I want to break out for myself. Take off the burden.
It is, yes. It takes a long time, but I'm living at the beginning of a new age, Hector. I'm very excited for the new generation to come. My son will not have to deal with this bullshit that I have to deal with.
That does sound...
Leveling the playing field.
That sounds wonderful, actually.
The magicians and the gods have their machinations, but us, normal folk, may one day get our just reward, he says. He has a faraway look when he says that. Mm. There's almost a bit of mania in his face when he says that.
Yeah, look, Hector's like, he's been reeled in, but he realizes, well, maybe he shouldn't be reeled that much. And now he's just trying to be like, the future, crazy.
Yeah.
And but then some of the stuff, what he says, is covering.
Fair enough.
Yes, it would be nice for us to be in control of our own destiny.
Yes. Hello. Anyway.
Well, yes, once you get Rahadin's attention there, or come see me later, maybe we can...
Rahadin, there's a brief moment in the pulling and pushing
in the past, yes,
where he turns to the two of you. You see he clocks the man that you were just talking to, and he clocks you. Mm. And between the two of you, he locks eyes with you, Hector. And as he steps to as he steps forward to engage you, you can see that person that you were just talking to is kind of like gently kind of pushed aside.
Okay.
Hector, yes. A pleasure to see you again.
Thank you. I won't take up too much of your time. I can see you're
not
so very
at
busy.
All. No. How can I help
you? How long has it been since I left you at the tower with elf.
Rahadin gives you a very sorry look. Hector, it has been at least weeks.
Weeks?
Yes.
And how is Elf?
She is as fine as things can be. It is unfortunate what has happened to her. She has suffered greatly, mm-hmm. but she is alive. Okay. She is right now in the master's workshop.
Okay.
He does not understand completely what magics were used to create her, okay. but he understands enough that he has been slowly helping her.
That is good. That is good to hear.
It is very important to him. So I assure you, she will be fine in time.
Good, good, good.
The master is very, very patient.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. Thank you, Rat. That is weeks. All right. That's all I wanted to know. You enjoy a gesture around. Yes. Good luck with it all. If there's anything you need of me, I'm always happy to help. I guess the words just fall out of my mouth.
You feel a large hand closing on your shoulder as the exact same moment that man that you were talking to puts a hand on Rahadin's shoulder. You, the last you hear of Rahadin and this man are him saying, right, about the Barovian Electric Company.
Barovian
and that kind of fades into the party.
Okay.
You turn around.
Yes.
Strahd is standing behind you. Hector.
Yes.
Have you eaten?
I had a little something, but I'm not hungry.
Not hungry. Strahd says he looks concerned. Yeah. Please come with me.
Sure, lead the way.
He walks you out of the dining hall.
As I'm walking behind him, I just want to...
Not behind him. He puts an arm around you.
No, I want to be following him.
Uh-huh.
I want to bite my cheek. And I want to just check the color of my blood.
Hector, you bleed blue. Pip.
Uh-huh. No, right in the chops.
Oh, wait. I should probably roll initiative, I guess.
Yeah. I've got 9 hit points. I'm going to be instantly killed by an arrow. But I keep coming back, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Timex Mandarin. I think take a what the fuck is the thing? Take a hit and keep on licking or some shit.
Your brain stuff says and
call me the Chinese chicken, dude. Because you take one lick and you can't stop.
God, licking. I hope a man named Carl is about to kill you. Carl fires his crossbow. What's your armor class, Pip?
15 or something?
Ooh, no. Higher. Say higher.
17? It's 17?
I spy with my little eye. What is the ranged attack modifier of a spy? Oh, dear. What did you say? Is it 16?
I don't. What have you
Oh, got? You're 17. Okay. No, that's. No, you're 15.
Okay.
Yeah. You get shot in the chest. You. Oh, well, it'd be crazy if he didn't sneak attack you.
Oh, I may be out. God fucking damn it. God damn it. I was trying to... that's fine. That's fine.
Oh, boy. You take 16 points of damage.
Jesus. Well, I'm at least unconscious. Ah! I really need to heal up. It's really bad to be this low in health all the time.
Pip, it's your turn.
I'm out.
2 failed saving throws.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Carl.
Man, killed by a guy named Carl. That rules.
Fuck, dude. On a side quest, on a side quest.
All right, then it is Muriel's turn.
Bring
All
me
right.
back, Muriel.
Muriel steps over you. You see...
Muriel?
Okay. You see Muriel steps over. Well, she's got to fucking...
No, you're
she's
right.
She's got to deal with the present problem.
She's right.
She Eldritch... She fires an Eldritch blast up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Carl... You don't know his name, but you hear Carl stagger backwards. Mm-hmm. He takes 13 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Muriel gives you a quick look.
If you
if you need some proficiency bonus, let me know.
Oh, yeah, we'll do. I would love to be proficient in not dying.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, she doesn't know how bad it is.
Okay. I am on the floor.
Arrow in your
chest.
Well,
Carl's not dead, is the thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Carl fires at her and misses.
Mm-hmm. Lucky.
Misses a smaller target. That makes sense.
And then it's your turn, Pip.
Imagine I die.
One successful saving throw. Fuck. Now, Muriel is having a very tight quarters, intense firefight. Mm-hmm. As you, like, waving in and out, Pip, you see Eldritch Blasts being fired up and bolts being, crossbow bolts, being fired back down. You can sense as Muriel steps back over you, and you hear screaming and yelling.
Okay.
Briefly.
Yeah.
You think you hear barking and the tearing of flesh as well.
The dogs.
You're not sure if that's actually happening or if it's just in your psyche, though.
Uh-huh.
Highs or lows?
Dude, highs? Lows?
I don't know, dude. All right. I rolled either 98 or 2.
Ooh. Highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
Another saving throw for you, buddy.
Fuck.
Pip?
Yeah? Yes?
You hear a voice.
Okay.
Pip Mandarin. General Pip Mandarin. It's very frighteningly clear. Pip, you realize you're not wavering in and out of consciousness on the stairwell.
Yeah.
You're in a black void.
Well, well, well. Not so easy, is it?
What's the first place you imagined, Pip?
Probably the monastery, honestly.
All right. You realize you're not sitting in a void either. You're sitting on the cold floor of the monastery. There's no one around right now.
What the am I a little boy or am I an adult
man? You're Pip Mandarin.
Okay. What the fuck?
You could have sworn that you were alone, but then you look over and now suddenly there's a monk, one of the monks, obviously, of this monastery specifically, sitting at one of the tables.
Do I recognize him?
No.
Am I dead?
Not yet, he says.
Okay, that didn't really clear things up.
Grab a seat, please.
Okay.
Let's have a conversation.
I sit down.
Do you know who I am?
No idea.
I'm a friend.
I find that hard to believe.
No, I swear I am. I really am.
I find people who tell you they're your friends aren't really your friends. I feel like if it's a friend, you know it's a friend.
Well, let me be the exception to the rule.
Okay.
Pip, I want to make a deal with you. Muriel left you for dead. Well, she didn't leave you for dead. I'm sorry.
No, that would make sense.
She just didn't have time.
Right.
Carl, and I can't believe you got killed by... Imagine getting murked by a guy named Carl.
Yeah, and I'm
that's
not
embarrassing.
So happy about it.
With a K.
Oof.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
And you are again?
I'm a friend.
And that's all I'm getting, I suppose?
That's all you need to know.
Right. Okay.
Look, I've spoken with Hector.
Not surprised.
He laughs. He laughs out loud.
I'm not surprised.
I've spoken with Hector a few times now.
Oh, a few times?
Hector and I, we go way back.
I feel like I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I want to make a deal with you.
Okay.
And I know you're reticent to make any deals with any entities. I understand that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to ask for much because I'm not going to do much. I mean, I don't know if you give him an expression at that.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think Pip's just looking down at the table.
Okay. Well, if you don't make an expression, he doesn't react. I'm not going to give you much because I'm not going to ask for much. I am going to say this one time, Pip Mandarin, you get to live.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I'm going to do for you.
And in exchange,
you're going to a very special place soon.
Uh-huh.
That's where you're... He pauses. That's where Keening is.
Right.
When you get to that very special place, there's going to be a... you're going to find the cage.
Mm-hmm.
That I already know. And in the cage, there's going to be a fella.
Right.
Now, the fella isn't going to want to come out of the cage. And so you're going to convince him to get out of the cage for me. And you're going to say this. He leans in, Pip.
Yeah.
And he whispers something into your ear. And you don't know what he said, but you know you could repeat it.
Okay.
Now, I promise, and if you want, it could be a pinky promise, he says, leaning across the table.
Don't patronize me.
You don't understand, Pip Mandarin. Promises for people like me, they mean something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I promise, and I pinky promise, that what I just told you is not going to affect you in any way that you will perceive to be adverse. And that's all I can promise you.
I get up from the table and I go, even though I'm not really at the monastery, I look out the window at like the kind of like the snowy mountain kind of going down. Maybe I can see a little seaside town at the sort of base of it. And I turn back to him and I say, you got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I would not accept a deal like this because I'm not stupid.
I know.
But just then, when the void became the monastery, I thought I'd gone to heaven. And that terrified me. Because if this, I point to the monastery, is still kicking around spiritually in here, I know where I'm destined, and it's not for me. So I go back over to the table and sit down. Look, no one could blame... I mean, you know, I suppose everybody gets one. I extend a hand.
Pip Mandarin, I know you're not an idiot, because you're the smartest thing anyone in Barovia can be.
And that is...
He leans forward and he reaches out, grabs your hand, and he shakes it. You're a coward. You wake up on the stairwell. You're on one hit point.
Yeah. Look at you. How's it feel lecturing from your big, tall ivory tower? Doesn't look like a tower anymore, actually. Looks like a two-story house, now that I think about it.
Just like stare to the middle distance. That's so embarrassing. That's so embarrassing that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy, he had to show, you know, friend had to show Hector, like, you know, all the goodwill, like being undone, the innocence dying. One of the times he had to show, like, you know, your boyfriend dying.
Yeah.
He didn't have to show you shit.
Yeah, well, I cut out the middleman. I didn't have to cut the chaff.
You're all some of this. Talk. But when push comes to the fucking shove, this motherfucker shoved everyone else to be like, no, me.
I don't want to go to the Eternal Garden party, dude. I got to sort out my spiritual soul before I kick on.
Exactly. That's important. Yeah, that's what's important.
Well, I want to go somewhere good.
Pip Mandarin.
Sorry, excuse me. A very bad thing just happened.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? No way. That's crazy to hear, dude. I thought everything was going well.
I don't know if such a monster exists.
What?
What?
What do you mean by that?
What do you do when you wake up? You can hear Muriel casting a spell.
Okay.
And then there's an explosion downstairs, mm-hmm. and you hear Muriel cry out in pain. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, you don't really use magic. You don't know what just happened.
Okay. I guess I'll head downstairs, but
you get
very cautiously. Yeah, I stand up. Yeah.
Okay. Get shot in the back, probably.
Why?
He's still there.
I thought. Okay.
No. All right. So hang on. Because I think we've had a misunderstanding again.
Yeah.
So you hear an explosion downstairs and Muriel screaming in pain. And you can tell it's just at the very base of the stairs.
Oh,
and you know Fucko's still upstairs.
All right. Have I sat up?
No, you haven't sat up. No one is aware that you're awake yet.
Okay. Can I hear... Carl,
You can't just hear Carl. Yeah. You see through like cracked eyes, you see Carl duck out again, fire his crossbow bolt down at Muriel, and you hear her cry out in pain again.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Well, that means he's got to reload. So I, at that point,
it's your turn, yeah?
Leap up from my position and maybe just try and barrel into him so that he drops the crossbow.
You successfully slam into him. You see Carl look down in shock at you, but you died.
Yeah, I thought so too.
You slam underneath one of his elbows. Mm-hmm. He, in pain, drops his light crossbow, mm-hmm. which you neatly catch in your hands.
Okay.
You can actually shoot at this
turn.
Oh,
great. Yeah, I'll do that. I got two attacks.
Point blank range, fire it into his chest. He takes, 11 points of damage.
Nice.
And I think that's him. Yeah. Wow. He you shoot him in the guts.
Yeah.
He collapses forwards.
With his own weapon. Code.
Yeah, with nice. His own weapon.
Nice.
He's dead, Muriel. He's dead.
Okay, I'm going to need some help downstairs.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. God.
Wow, that's crazy. Sorry, she got both ends of the... She did a crit failure. Something really bad happened.
Oh, she's fighting the dogs, of course.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, you got height advantage now.
Yeah, that's true.
You hear an explosion.
That's great. Oh,
okay. You hear an explosion, and then Muriel bursts down at the bottom of the stairs. You can see she's half were-raven right now.
Yeah.
Looking up at you, she starts pointing upstairs. Go, 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 go. She starts clambering up the stairs after you. You hear something bellowing downstairs.
It's not a dog.
That's not a dog. Okay.
What? Dog? She says she starts pushing you. There was no dogs.
I thought I heard dogs. Please, I just died.
You get up to the top of the stairs. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're already at the top of the stairs. By the time Muriel gets to the top of the stairs mm-hmm. and she grabs and starts trying to drag you with her, you see it slamming into walls. It is now at the bottom of the stairs. Mm-hmm. Some huge entity that looks like it's made out... It kind of vaguely resembles a dog, but you don't think you mistook. You think this is a new thing just now burst onto the scene.
Yeah. Hmm.
It looks kind of like it's made out of hard wind.
What the fuck?
Pip, you recognize what this is.
Yeah.
You haven't hunted this thing before. You've turned down the opportunity to hunt this thing before. It's a force elemental.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
A force elemental is immune to nearly all types of damage.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You don't think you can hurt this.
Interesting.
Now, on the top floor, what are we looking at?
You know a force elemental is only summoned by colossal fuck-up on the part of a mage.
Okay.
Muriel must have fucked something up when she cast a spell.
Okay. Mm. We all make mistakes.
You are... All right, so, Joel Zammit, okay. I want to do something with you.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Will it be here? I want to play a game.
Okay.
I want to play a game.
Oh, no, Adam's going saw mode.
Hopefully, this sounds good.
Okay,
so, yeah, Adam is showing me code. This is the floor they're on. Okay.
Point to me the room that Lady Watcher is in.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, what would it be thematically? So what? Where's that?
Do you want to know which room's her bedroom?
What are the rooms that are there? And without trying to give up too much away to,
I'll stick my fingers in my ears and not listen.
Yeah. All right, okay, so that's what room is this?
It is the library.
Okay, so we have the library that's there. Then we've got
that's the master bedroom.
Oh yeah, that would make most sense, right? Last stand there.
Joel, thank you very much for not even considering the top of the stairway.
I would never.
You would never.
Okay.
All right. So, Pip.
Fuck, dude.
The force elemental is dragging itself up the stairs. All right. The two closest doors,
mm-hmm.
there's a door immediately to your right and a door immediately to your left. But then, in this room... Down south, there are two doors on that left wall,
mm-hmm.
and then there's one door on the right wall, and then there's a little landing, which you can see leads to another doorway.
Oh, there's so many doors. Okay. I still have some deform magic arrows left. I could fire one of them. I could let Muriel search. Surely, if it's all magic, a deform magic arrow might... But then if it's
you're
not...
slowing yourself down, and are you? You're not going to hurt it.
No. And then I don't want to die again. You know, one deal is too many. Let's just pick a door. First one on the left.
Muriel, looking at you very briefly, says, "Split up."
Yeah.
All right. Which door are you taking?
I'll take the left. She can take the right.
The immediate left.
Yep.
Okay, that's a set of double doors.
Mm-hmm.
Muriel bursts through the right door. You lose sight of her.
Mm-hmm.
You burst through the left door. Those double doors lead to, I believe, a library. This room is crawling with cats. Bookshelves hug the walls, but most of the shelves are bare. Other furnishings include a desk, a chair, a table, and a wine cabinet. The room has an irregular shape, and none of its angles seem quite right, as though the shifting of the house has set the whole place on edge. So this is an L-shaped room.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot see the entirety of the room,
God
but you
it.
Can see that a struggle has happened here. There are books knocked off shelves. You move into the room as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Odds or evens?
Odds.
Odds? It's following you.
Fabulous.
Okay. The elemental wraps one of its hands around those double doors and shatters them, breaking them in. You keep moving just around that L part of the bend.
Yeah.
You immediately, there's by the reading desk, you can see she's slumped up against it.
Oh,
her several days old corpse now.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they made a mess of her. Her tongue was also took long before she died.
Okay.
You think... From the blood splatters, you think her tongue was took elsewhere in the house, and then she retreated here for a last stand.
Okay, but hey, I found her.
Who has the gold dagger?
I believe Muriel. But Muriel's also the one that has to do the stabbing, right?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
She has to defeat the banshee.
Yeah, but anyone can
kill it, yeah.
Well, hey, what are we going to do? That's okay.
Pip, what do you do?
Now...
Oh, this is a dead end, by the way.
I figured, I assumed.
Oh... Yeah, it's a dead end.
Okay. Are there any windows in the library?
Yep.
Okay. And do you wouldn't be kind enough to have them lead onto like a balcony?
That's not up to me, buddy. The map says no.
Okay. Ooh. And we're on the second story. Mm-hmm. I imagine if I leapt out with one hit point, I would fall and die yet again.
You wouldn't die. You'd go down to...
I'd go to saving throws. Yes, yeah. But Muriel would not know where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably I cannot communicate to her
You could yell. Whether or not she hears you is another thing.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Are there any... I mean, you know, what? It wouldn't do shit. I was like, maybe I could knock one of the shelves onto the elemental, but like, it's... I don't think that's going to be a... consideration. Okay, can I presume I'd do this with disadvantage, but can I pick up the corpse of Lady Watcher, smash out the window, and then climb, instead of leaping out, climb up the side of the house?
That would be with disadvantage.
That's
yes.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, you grab Lady Watcher.
I'm either falling out and going into saving throws, or I don't. So
you need to triple your proficiency.
That might help.
Okay.
No, it wouldn't.
Never mind. Wow.
You do not
have that as a skill, so it won't change anything.
Okay.
Oh, are there any strength-based check rolls?
No.
Okay. You grab the corpse,
mm-hmm.
smash the window. You start trying to climb out.
Mm-hmm.
As you slip out the window, mm-hmm. Lady Watcher is a lot heavier than you imagined.
Okay. God damn
Pip,
it. Mm-hmm.
You can either, I'll give you one of three options.
Okay.
Let go of her and climb.
Mm-hmm.
You can fall with her, or you can stay exactly where you are with her.
If I let go of her, does she stay in the library?
No, she falls. She's outside. You didn't realize how heavy she was until you're carrying her and climbing.
Okay. I let go of her and climb.
All right. And she hits the ground?
Yeah, that's fine.
You climb up onto the roof.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to go over the roof into the... To see, climb down the other side to go into the room Muriel's in.
Okay. You start sprinting over the roof.
Yeah.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
Okay. The force elemental starts throwing limbs. And I don't mean, it doesn't really have like a proper form.
Mm.
So it's like boom, boom. And it's arm, 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 like a porcupine made out of arms,
mm-hmm.
as you sprint across the roof to get to the other side. Okay, so you're going to start climbing down the other side?
Yeah, that's my plan.
This won't be a disadvantage. You look down, the other side of the roof
mm-hmm.
has no windows. There's a chimney.
Oh, I'll go down the chimney then.
Got Santa Claus
here?
This
is the second or possibly third time I've done this in this campaign.
The force elemental is now, you can hear it roaring and thrashing around the house,
mm-hmm.
but it has lost track of you.
Oh, thank God.
So you climb into the chimney and you start climbing. You slide down the chimney and get stuck.
Come on.
Halfway down.
Come on. Okay.
Pip.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes or lows?
Highs.
Something grabs your feet.